Hello there, greetings. It's your mate, it's your compass. It's the one that you love to hear from. It's me. It's Al Pitcher. This is Dream Guest. It's season two. Can you believe it? Whether you're listening on a plane, you can do that. Delayed train, or whether you're just out running in the Skugan, I am here with you, and I am absolutely delighted that you're with me. So I hope that's a good upbeat intro. I want the podcast to be part of your life. So I'm really delighted you're here. My guest today was great fun. It was great fun. It was Nicholas Eksted. Nicholas Eksted. He's got a T on the end and it's easy to forget. Wonderful story. Fantastic kind of life. He started his own restaurant when he was 21, which you might think's young, but he actually went to Chicago when he was 18. And that all began because his cooking teacher saw something in him and said, I'm going to ring your dad. And from there, he ended up in Chicago. What a story. My dad probably wouldn't have even answered the phone. Personally, we kind of had some kind of reflections on life being away from our wives and our children. When I say wives, I've only got one and he has got one. Get this. He met his wife. They became friends. Now, you might think that's weird. Friends before marriage? I mean, difficult to carry on being friends when you are married. But I've got science to back this up. I have got statistics. 70% of romances begin as friendships. How cool is that? And that's from the Journal of Social Psychology and Personality. We're the team here. We've been really Googling and finding stuff and looking up this information for you to know fully what you do before you fall in love. You become friends. And speaking of friends, I know you want to be closer to me and be my friend. And you can be. You can even stalk me because I am on tour from October. Tid for Skrat. Isn't it the time we need to laugh? It's my favorite show. I can't wait to do it for you guys. Please get your tickets, alpitcher.com, and we can be friends. We can just, well, you can stare at me and I can stare at you, and we can just have wonderful fun. Yeah? Alpitcher.com, get your tickets. Now for the podcast, episode, whatever it is, season two, that's what it is. And here it is for you. It's me meeting Nicholas Eksted. I've kind of had this this thing with you where I
thank you.
Like a lot of the guests, they have been like dream guest, but you actually have been the dream guest because I've been following you for
nice.
Ages.
Oh,
and
thank
I was
you.
Like, really yeah. want
so
this.
The other ones are not
no,
so
no,
much
no,
of
no.
a dream.
They're just guests.
They're my nightmare guest.
I say this to every guest. but I so I'm delighted you're here.
Thank you.
I'm delighted.
Thank you. Thank you.
I actually love what you do. You're this kind of wilderness kind of chef, aren't you? Like,
yeah.
You seem to be just like in a forest cooking stuff up.
I do like to be in rural environments. But it's funny enough, usually that's where I get invited. I get invited to all these weird places all the time. Because
meet me in the forest.
Yeah.
Don't
like
wear
rural
any clothes.
Places that no one ever heard of.
Yeah.
Not even the cab driver. They're always like dropping me off in this weird place. Like, are you sure you're going to be in this place? I never heard of this.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
And they've done the A to Z, you know.
So it's kind of, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's fun. I get to see a lot of strange places.
And was it always, that was always the dream? Because you got a restaurant quite early on, didn't you?
Yeah,
like 21.
I first opened my restaurant when I was only 21 years old.
Yeah.
So I was very young. And originally I wanted to be like white chef, you know, with a lot of stars and be kind of like, you know, just like the people I looked up to when I was a kid, like Marco Pierre White and Gordon Ramsay and Paul Bocuse and all these famous chefs back in the 90s. But then it kind of grew on me that I wanted to do something that was maybe a little more based on how I grew up and what I actually like to do when I'm not in the kitchen. So
you kind of broke away a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And then also I got very into like technical aspect of cooking and not only the ingredients. Kind of like I wanted to explore like how we used to cook in the Nordic countries before electricity was introduced.
Yeah.
So more out of like a technical, historical angle.
Yeah.
Because I think so there's this thing in Sweden, which I know you joke a lot about as well. And that's like the Swedish traditions.
Yes.
And traditions are only able to be a tradition if you keep doing them. And usually they get interpreted in like different angles and different ways, which is usually very easy to do humor on, which you do very cleverly sometimes.
Cleverly. We'll take that as a quote. That's for the poster, that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But if you don't continue to do them and they get forgotten, their history.
Yes.
And those are the things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So things that can like, because people like to, oh, you do like traditional Swedish cooking. And not really. I do like historical interpretations of Swedish cooking.
What's the best?
Well, the one thing that I'm like a little bit of my go-to thing is a flambadu. It's a cone that I heat up in the fire to 550 Celsius. So it's become glowingly hot. Yeah. And then I add beef fat into that. And that fat starts burning when it hits the heat and then drips onto whatever protein you want to cook. I usually do it with seafood, so oysters and lobster and stuff like that.
I'm vegetarian and I'm still loving it.
Yeah?
I'm still loving that.
I could do it. We do mushrooms sometimes for vegetarians.
And this kind of thing, like, do people just say to you, Nicholas, we want you, just come out to the forest and...
Yeah. Yeah, all the time, yeah. Every week I kind of get a new proposal to do something, be in something.
Isn't that a pain in the ass sometimes when you just want to go out hiking and someone's like, come on, get your beef fat out?
Yeah, not really. I still enjoy it a lot. It's kind of like the one fear I have in life is to not get curious or not get excited about things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when you work hard for something and you suddenly become like in the position where I am in professionally now, like, you know, what do you say? Like I'm... Yeah, succeeded.
Well, you've,
if I can use that word.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Being Swedish and humble.
Yeah. You have to whip yourself later on.
Exactly. Like, my God.
He's gone into the forest again.
An English friend of mine said, like, oh, you Scandinavians are so funny because if you look at, like, beer, you say probably the best beer in the world with Carlsberg, while the American says... Budweiser, king of beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We're not probably like...
Yeah.
But I'm probably successful.
Yeah.
And and then it's easy to get numb a little bit and not as excited about
not
proposals
challenging yourself.
And challenging.
Yeah.
So I find that something that I fear the most in life, not being curious
enough.
What a
cool enough. Way to look at it. Yeah. But is there anything you haven't done that you'd like to do?
I'd love to go to New Zealand.
You haven't been?
Yeah, no, never been.
Wow, that absolutely shocks me.
Yeah. So I'm invited to Australia in June, 14th of June for the Sydney Food Festival.
Okay.
So I'm looking into maybe catch a flight over to see...
For sure.
See your beautiful country.
Cook a hobbit and stuff like that.
Yeah, do that. Kind of, like Game of Thrones cooking.
First. Yeah. Is it really... Do you really think like Jänti Laaghan hits someone like yourself? Like,
not really. Maybe not. Because it's...
Because you've done so great.
Yeah, and when you're on a different kind of like, when you do something that's so different from... But Jänti Laaghan for me is something that's more like the Volvo on the driveway thing.
Okay.
Jänti Laaghan is something that you can only do it if you can compare it to someone.
Yes.
It's if you're close enough, but not that close.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when someone has a nice Mercedes on the driveway and you only have a Skoda.
Yeah.
That's like, that's Jänti Laaghan. But if you're like professionally on a profession that people are not looking into exploring, they don't get jealous in the same sense.
Yeah.
See what you know what I mean?
Yeah. But with you, you're kind of satisfied with how it's all gone? Are you one of these people that looks at it and goes, wow, I could never have dreamt to be this great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think of it every...
That's how I feel with stand-up. Like, I'm in Sweden doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, but that is weird, though.
It is, yeah. Like, it is.
You couldn't see that one coming.
No. And I didn't have that.
No, you didn't even know where it was, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like...
What did you know about Sweden when you arrived here?
Just the usuals.
Yeah, you know? Volvo, ABBA, Björn Borg.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time I came here, it was like, I think we went past like Heron City, Kungens Kurve. And I was like, wow, is this what it's, it felt like?
Yeah, it's not that nice.
No, it was kind of highway with big supermarket. And I hadn't
McDonald's.
Really hadn't really seen that. And I was like,
oh no.
Oh, wow. Because you do think red houses, people dancing on the lawn.
But the turnpikes anywhere isn't nice.
No. But I
Understand what you mean.
I sometimes have rose-tinted glasses with Sweden.
I took a couple of friends from Dubai once to Drottningholm.
Oh, yes.
To the big house. And I showed, so this is the residential house of the Swedish royal family. Yeah. And then we walked around a little bit. And after like 10 minutes, he asked me, so where is the main house? That's actually the main house.
Yeah, yeah. So this is it. We are very proud. Yeah.
So it's So I do understand. It's not very impressive. Like at the first, you really need to stay for a while to understand the bits and pieces that are nice.
I've seen a lot of Sweden. I've toured a lot. Mm. I was very lucky early on where I went on the Riksteatern kind of tour of places everywhere, and. So I went out to like London and that's...
But they're all the same, all the small towns are the same.
Yeah, but they have got this kind of small town feel, but they are friendly people.
They are amazing, yeah.
You know.
And they used to also always have like a local nöjesnytt. I loved that when I traveled. I don't know if they're around anymore, but every nightclub, every theater had kind of, and I loved to look at them because they had, that was like before Instagram. So there's always pictures of people in the end as well.
Going
out Saturday night.
Yeah, their big night out.
I just enjoyed those newspapers.
But it's also, you turn up there and like the theater person is the local taxi driver and the hotel owner.
Yeah.
You know. And the one that heckles you in the show, you know, and they want to do is be performing as well. Mm. So it's
That's beautiful.
It's great, and
that's
like,
how I grew up. I grew up in a smaller town than that.
But you in Östersund, right?
Yeah, outside Östersund. Okay, very small town called Järpen.
Järpen,
and that's what I dream out every week. Like, I don't know, once a week or twice a week, I think of myself just relaxing there, settling down.
Yeah,
when I'm done with this thing. And just be able to go down to Kyoto and just get the Aftonbladet and go home and read that and eat cinnamon roll and drink my coffee.
That's all you need.
Have a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my wife is not that into it.
There's FaceTime now.
She's actually said I'd rather die.
you can't beat Swedish romance.
No,
you know.
But I still think of it that I could do it.
Yeah. And she is an author as well.
Yeah, she's a writer, thrillers.
Yeah.
She writes about, chefs, killing chefs.
Wow. Yeah, it's very, it all happens there, you know.
And they're always like young in their like early 30s, very handsome, good looking. Ripped.
Long hair.
Yeah. A lot of sex scenes. Yeah.
And how did you meet?
We met at the book fair in Gothenburg.
The Bokmässan, yeah.
Yeah, Bokmässan. That's where everyone meets. Or either get divorced or meet. And we had a great night out. I showed her, she didn't know the way to her hotel. Yeah, the rest is history. But and we've been married now for 14 years.
Great.
Mm. Yeah, but we're both from Jämtland. We both love winters.
Right, okay.
Yeah, she's from Östersund. I'm from Järpen. Yeah. We used to hang out in the same. We were like friends when we were young, but we weren't like that. But we hang out with the same people. Yeah, we have a great relationship. No problems at all, actually.
And the travel away, do you?
That was more difficult when the kids were young.
Yeah.
When the kids were like in preschool and doggies.
Yeah.
We had usually a tough time getting the schedule and traveling bits and pieces together. But now it's easier. Much easier.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, so I do a lot of traveling and go away and you feel really guilty. But they have their own kind of lives without you at that when they're young.
Mm.
So they're sorting everything out. They're on it. They've got a schedule and you're not part of it.
No.
And then you come back and my kids were like, who's this guy? oh, not that guy, he's back again, you know.
And, I had that one time when my kid was very young, when he was like 9 years old. I came home and I pretty much just repacked my bag, had like one dinner, and my son goes like, varför är du hemma, pappa? Ska packa om väskan. Och det var ju meningslöst. So just like, why did you even bother coming home? You could have just stayed
just
on the road.
Just get a hotel, yeah. Stay out
exactly,
there.
Yeah.
I don't know how many cups of coffee you drink a day.
Oh, too many.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kind of
this
hardcore.
Probably my fifth today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's nice. I love coffee. Coffee is what, you know, gets me up in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. It's just very nerdy with my coffee. I even have like a corner, coffee corner in our house that no one else is allowed to touch. My wife, it's just me. And I measure my coffee and I weigh the water. And
you make your own coffee?
Yeah, like, just for me, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
if that was in it's my house, weird. It's divorce kind of, yeah. You know, it would be like.
I do put on a separate
okay.
bowl of okay. coffee for my wife.
Yeah. The whole thing about the dream guest for me was like, how can I get a guest to sit with me and get to know them? And it was always fika.
Fika,
you know?
Yeah.
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 Is that always
which
been
no one's ever explained to me where that word comes from.
I got told it was a Viking thing that they said fika, but I think it's a bit of a myth.
Yeah.
I also find that quite funny that they were you know, going around smashing up countries and then having a fika afterwards.
Fika, yeah. Even the pronunciation of the word F comes when we started eating differently, when we went from hunter-gatherers to farmers and started eating, and our jaw wasn't working as much.
Okay.
And the jaw went back a little bit on the Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
And we could pronounce F.
Ah. So it was Ika for ages. Just Ika. And everyone was going.
You couldn't say F. Yeah. Can you imagine? Like,
I'll cough. If we were going to have like a dream fika or a situation, what is it for you? Is it going down to the services, getting a kind of bulla coffee?
Yeah, no, I think I'm pretty Swedish there. Absolutely, I just like my black coffee and a kanelbulla, maybe semla in February.
Yeah,
but
can we stop with this in only February? It's becoming this absolute.
Yeah, ridiculous, right?
Con thing where they go, oh, it's back again. It's never been away.
No. And I was like, oh, we're being a little naughty having a semla in January. Like, oh, well, it's not that naughty. It's like, it's not, we're not breaking the law.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
not
like Rage Against the Machine. It's just a semla. No, absolutely, I agree. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and surrounding wise, are you one to sort of be on your own fika wise? Like,
I like to spend a lot, especially when I'm in the few times I get invited to the big cities or I travel to the big cities. I love the thing of just being alone, which is, I really enjoy that in New York and London and Berlin and stuff, that you can wander around and roam around yourself.
Yeah, man.
You really don't need anyone. You don't need anyone's company. Usually there's so much things to do and see. Even like going out eating by yourself.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that in these big cities. But here in Stockholm, I feel a little bit, oh, is that that famous chef sitting all alone?
Yeah.
or the waiter's like feeling sorry for you and start talking awkwardly to you. Like, no, I just like to be by myself. You know?
When will your friend turn up?
Yes, I know. And also it's like, blir ni bara en when you have a reservation? Oh, det är bara jag. Only me, no one else. Yeah.
We are now going to bring out a fika for you.
Okay, perfect. This is called the cloche.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I will take the cloche off.
Yeah.
Ooh. And there we go.
Pain au chocolat.
Just simple, straight down the line.
Yes, I love pain au chocolat. It's difficult to eat though, because it is very messy. So you enjoy...
Oh God, it is messy.
Do you enjoy pain au chocolat too?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a big fan. I think it can be done bad as well, you know?
It's a good one. And also, what I find really fascinating with things is if you can do like a time travel. Because a lot of things changes, but flavor and taste pretty much stay the same.
Yeah.
So I think of like when you get a real handcrafted bread from like a good wheat.
Yeah.
Kind of like if you're in Paris and you eat that, that's the same flavor as someone would have had, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like something that really repeats itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, even more like if you eat game or if you eat wild strawberries or berries.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
in the forest, you're eating those blueberries.
Yeah.
That same flavor, same smell as someone cool would have 3,000
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah. Do you think you've made, what's the greatest meal you've made?
I have a couple of, like, I mean, there are like nights when you feel in the restaurant you really nailed it and you have a perfect service and you like the food is great. But when you have people, you invited chef friends to your house and you put a little bit of extra effort into what you're cooking
Mm-mm.
and you do something and you just get it on point, just perfect. And you feel the chef friends all are enjoying themselves yeah. and you can see in their eyes that, you know, you nailed it.
Oh, wow, cool.
That's very comfortable. I guess it's the same thing as when you do comedy. You can like feel the room, right?
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
kind of like, and that's what's very like, I think acting and cooking is very similar. You get it, an instant response.
Absolutely.
Like you get like, yeah, okay, I it's not like, no, like this is what we're recording. We don't know
yeah.
what the audience is like
yeah.
thinking, but cooking is very like direct.
Yes, yes.
And that's very, it's also something that makes it very difficult. Every day is a new day. You know, you can't really, you can of course lean on your reputation,
Mm-mm.
but it's still kind of something that you need to like do again and again and again and again and again. And I think that's why so many like, stop and can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just so, you just have to keep going. It's like constant, you know.
And what about the bear? Have you seen the bear?
Yeah, of course.
What do you think?
It's very difficult to watch for me because it's so well played.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very accurate. So it's pretty painful to watch, actually.
Okay.
It's kind of like, it's not that I enjoy it because I feel kind of like that, but I need to watch it. I need to continue. And also, I started out in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh,
my
wow.
first job was in Chicago. So
I know. So you went to Chicago before your own restaurant?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I went there as I was I just turned 18.
Wow.
Yeah. So in 1996, I moved to Chicago.
Yeah. Why and was that? Just
it was because I wasn't cooking school at home.
Yeah.
My culinary teacher the last year of culinary school, just I didn't pay a lot of attention in school, and I snowboarded and skateboarded a lot, so yeah. I was more focused on that.
Yeah.
But I loved cooking, and then kind of like one day my dad got a phone call from school. And he thought, of course, I've done something bad. And it was the culinary teacher. And yeah. he said, like, oh, you know, I think your son, he has a talent in cooking.
Wow.
You should really pay a little bit of attention to him.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you...
A bit of Swedish parental advice. Yeah. Start listening to him or chat. Yeah. Actually talk to him.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, actually talk to him about that. And like... Because I think he has something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad was, I think he was a little flattered, you know? He was a little bit like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Wow, proud dad, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. And then, so he started talking to friends. I think it ended up with him calling back to the teacher, said like, okay, so if we want to do something for him, what should he do? And they said like, well, he needs to go to a high-end restaurant, you know, as a apprentice.
Yeah, yeah.
Start out there. But
yeah.
And then my dad found this restaurant in Chicago,
yeah.
which I've never heard of. Which was Charlie Trotter's, who was the most famous restaurant in the world at the moment. And then when I finished gymnasiet on Friday, on Sunday, I was on a plane to Chicago.
Wow.
And I stayed in the Swedish church in Chicago
yeah.
at a lady's house. I washed her hair, free rent, once a week, Sundays
just
before
to wash
church.
Her hair.
Yeah, I washed her hair in the bathtub. She was like 85 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Worked 14 hours a day. In Chicago.
What a bizarre. That's a cool story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a film.
Yeah. It was very, and of
course.
So
you must be like 18 washing this woman's hair.
Yeah. And working. But, you know, I had I knew no one there. I was under 21, so I couldn't go out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Charlie and the chef there and everyone loved me immediately. And like, we're like, I mean, because in the States, you also grow up a little later than you do in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
So they thought they couldn't believe I was only 18 years old. Yeah, and yeah, I didn't speak English either.
No, no.
I was useless.
Yeah.
I couldn't, yeah, yeah. And then I also said everything in like Swedish, like fan call is like fennel. Yeah, like I didn't know any words. I worked there for 1 year in Chicago. And yeah, then I went to Laurent Chéri, two Michelin starred restaurant in Los Angeles. I was actually I had problems with papers in the States. I couldn't stay. So I had to go back to Europe. And then I went to outside Barcelona to El Bulli. That was the number one restaurant in the world at the moment. Started cooking there. Yeah.
Did you know all this at the time that these places were like...
I knew they were top of the game, but I didn't know that they were going to become legendary. And but it was very, I mean, I met like, you know, it was just crazy back then. You know, we had Michael Jackson as a guest, Cindy Crawford, you know, we had all these superstars every night. Yeah. And yeah, it was incredible. Incredible time in my life.
You sort of just bounced into these places.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think a lot of things were just coincidence. And I feel sometimes... very much like the Forrest Gump of culinary things. I just like stumble on places.
Yeah,
like, oh, go over there. Like, oh, here's the king.
Ah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Have you cooked for the king?
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, super cool. And I always get starstruck of these famous people, especially these people that like constantly are famous. That's what amazes me with royals.
Yeah,
They're like famous from like day one before they're born.
Yeah,
they're always famous.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine like living a life where you can't remember not being famous?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, how does that work?
I thought you were asking me. I was like, I can't. Yeah. But totally.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you think of whatever you think of, like monarchies and royals.
Yeah.
Still, it's kind of like, it's strange that they don't get more wacko than they do. I mean, there are famous people that's been unfamous for a very long time that become wacko of being famous.
Yeah.
And then there are royals that stay sane.
Yeah. It's the mystery cake. We're going to bring out the mystery cake now.
Okay, perfect.
Now, you don't know what this is. Do you want to... reveal.
Reveal.
Here we go.
Brum, ba, boom. Ah.
Massarin.
Massarin.
A true Fika classic.
Very much so.
I've got a lot of info here.
Please, I know nothing about Massarin.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, sit back and relax.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy this.
It's celebrated each year, March the 13th.
Oh no, another date to remember.
Yes. it's a Massarin dag. This elegant short crust pastry filled with almond pulp and topped with glaze is named after Cardinal Jules Massarin of the 17th century.
Who was he? Please tell me more.
It just says here, Nicholas shall ask you. No. Massarin was a cardinal with a surprising appetite for politics, war, and conquering new territory. Acted as the Prime Minister of France until his death. How very French is that? Just acting as a Prime Minister.
Well, how's Sweden come into it?
At one point... Have you read this before?
No.
At one point, Cardinal Massarin's path crossed even with the infamous Queen Christina of Sweden.
Ah, nice.
Controversial and one of the most debated monarchs in Swedish history. How cool. We've been talking about monarchs.
Yeah, because Christina went from Protestant to Catholic, right?
So, she's known as the regent who chose to abdicate rather than to marry after abdicating. Christina left Sweden, converted to Catholicism. And continued to meddle in major politics of Europe.
Mm.
Together with the French cardinal, Jules Massarin, she even made plans to conquer Naples.
Wow.
What a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Like.
Why?
Yeah. Who are we going to, what we're doing? We're taking over Naples. Oh. All right, Christina.
Yeah.
Put down the Massarin.
Yeah.
However, the Swedish queen is also remembered as one of the most educated women of the 17th century, fond of books, manuscripts, paintings, sculptures, and her occasional masculine style of clothing. Yeah. With her interest in religion, philosophy, mathematics, and alchemy, she attracted many scientists to Stockholm and worked hard to protect many of the Baroque artists, composers, and musicians. As a sign of her rare character, Queen Christina is one of the few women buried in the revered Vatican grottos.
Oh, nice. you know, one thing I've never, ever thought of, that I was going to be taught Swedish history from a New Zealander.
Yeah, there we go.
That was like unexpected.
Over some Mazarin.
Mazarin. And now I know where the Mazarin comes from.
Yeah, and now when you're having Mazarin at a party and it goes quiet.
Yeah, you can just tell that story.
Well,
have you heard? Yeah. Do you know?
Very nice though, that one.
It's a smart. I wonder how close it is to Christina's Mazarin. How similar this would be to the one that she ate.
Good question. Again, again, you had quite a few questions. No one's ever questioned the mystery cake as much as you have. Are you a big fan of social media? I enjoy it in some aspects. I like it. I don't get much. You mustn't get much hate, do you?
No, very little.
Yeah, me too.
But it's comedians get more, no?
Oh yeah, I mean you just get
random things. But you get away because you do it in English. Because I think if you were to do it in Swedish, it would be more difficult, right?
Yeah, but I think people, because I've been here for a while now, they're probably going, just do it in Swedish. But it wouldn't work as
It wouldn't, no.
At all.
And also that's your thing.
Yes.
That you do jokes about Swedes in English.
Absolutely.
And you know the culture and the people.
And I think looking back now, I'm more integrated in the life here.
Yeah. Back and you then, can do more subtle things.
Yes.
You can do like that.
Yeah.
Touch that.
Rather than it was kind of
rather than doing
first
joke
thought.
About a Volvo car.
Exactly.
Yeah. But are there like, I mean, as a chef, you know, there's tons of cooks and things that I know that I don't bother telling other people about because it's just like they won't understand because it's so complicated or it's so kind of like chefy.
Yeah.
Are the same thing with comedy? Are there like comedians that are so good at what they do that the audience kind of like don't understand them?
Yeah, I think you get comics.
Yeah.
Who should be huge, but there's just something that doesn't happen for them.
Mm.
And then there's other people that go far and you don't think they've got much.
No.
You know, they've just, again, it's become quite a lot of influencers become comics and stuff like that.
But social media makes it more complicated.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like it needs to be shorter and shorter and shorter. And you need to, it's also the cut out pieces, right?
I think anybody can do it now, social media, you know, there's a lot of things like living in Sweden is so weird because, you know, and that just goes
never
massive.
Tries to be comedians.
Yeah. So, I just think you just got to stay in your own thing and do your own world. I mean, for you, I don't look at you. You're not a Gordon Ramsay kind of angry.
Too calm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So why, it'd be quite a weird change if you just started.
If you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I always like try to do. I remember this one thing when my grandmother was alive and I was just 10, 15 years ago and I had been in, I can't remember what it was. It was on TV and it was panel or someone brought me in and had nothing to do with cooking. So it was kind of out of my subject.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. But anyway, then I went up to visit my grandma at her house and she's like, "So, why were you on that TV show trying to be funny when you're so good at cooking?"
Yeah.
And she was right.
Yeah.
And she was so correct. You know, I didn't stick to my subject.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So since that day, I've never said yes to anything that hasn't had to do with my profession.
Okay, great.
So I always, you know, I don't go to like Let's Dance or try to ride a horse or...
Yeah, yeah. Let's dance on the horse.
Yeah. No, just like, okay, so, you know, I go to cooking shows or I do interviews, of course, but it's still talking about my career.
Do you know what?
And my
I'm quite similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your grandma called me and was like, "Can you stop doing that shit?" You know?
Yeah. But it's like, it's pretty, it's also good because you have a filter. You know, if someone, they called me the other day to ask me if I want to sail over the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no.
No.
Is it a cooking show?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's inspiring to have someone who's decided that what they do is what they do.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? Exactly,
yeah. Because in both of our worlds, it's so easy to to take the blinkers off and start looking, oh, they're doing that. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, you know? And you wouldn't do it in any other profession, would you?
Yeah.
The plane is crashing. Oh,
yeah.
Is there a good chef on board?
Yeah.
The pilot just passed out. Yeah.
So if I want to have one of your meals, where do I go?
Ekstedt. Humlegårdsgatan 17.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Great Scotland Yard 5 in London.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard that's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you're in there?
Yeah, I'm either in London or here. My two sons, they compete in skiing. So it's kind of this time of season, I kind of help my wife with that. So we take every second week for them skiing. So
what, the downhill and all that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
how old are they?
They're 14 and 12.
And they're competing kind of? Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Doing great?
Yeah, doing great. Won both competitions this weekend. So
woohoo! Yeah.
They're great.
It's all uphill from here.
Yeah.
Oh, bit of a joke.
Well, money invested.
Yeah.
Uphill.
Yeah.
But you have skiing in New Zealand too.
Yeah, I don't think we've got that. Oh, yeah, we've got a bit. I think I went skiing with my parents once, but it wasn't.
This
is the worst anecdote of all time.
But yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't great. No.
No.
I must do it here in Sweden.
Yeah. You've never been, never skied?
It's just not my thing.
You look, you look like an athlete.
Well, thank you very much. Nicholas, it's been a pleasure, mate.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I could stay here all day.
Yeah. You're a laugh.
Yeah,
You're a real laugh.
Thank you.
But I sort of see that when I see you on TV and stuff. I think there's something a bit weird about this guy, and I like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This is what usually people say.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't know that you knew so much and that you were so strange. I'm like, in a good way, right?
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Please give it up for Nicholas, my dream guest.
Thank you.
Get your tickets to Al's new tour at alpitcher.com. This podcast was produced by Soulside Productions and recorded at Clarion Hotel Sign in Stockholm.